Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 557 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am Kevin Huntsberger, joined once again by Chad Smart. Chad, how are things going?
They're going.
All right.
The sun is up. The birds are chirping. I'm breathing. I guess that's good. You know, it's better to start the day. It's better to start the day above ground than below ground, I guess.
That is very true. Very, very true. So this week, and I want to touch on, because last week we talked about the phenomenal weekend, or the weekend of wrestling, pro wrestling, and we recorded before the Evolution show, which this is actually going to kind of tap into today's topic about haters and kind of tap into the Evolution show, but not only the Evolution show, but... And I didn't watch AEW's All in its entirety. I watched, again, clips. I did watch Evolution. Did you get a chance to watch it?
I did watch Evolution, yes.
What were your thoughts on it?
Well, honestly, the first half, I probably wasn't paying full attention. Because, again, I was watching it after the fact, late at night. And the first couple matches, while good, weren't anything that I was really super jazzed about. The three-way intercontinental match, you know, to me, it's just WWE's lazy booking of just repeating the same match multiple times. Mm-hmm. And Trish versus Tiffy, you know, I didn't figure there was any chance of Trish winning. So it wasn't a must see match. But overall, I thought the match, I mean, it was good. Again, it's WWE has the talent to put on good wrestling. Mm-hmm. I thought only the Battle Royal was a little subpar, just because with the stipulation of a winner going on to challenge for the title, it took away, you know, the people you would think have a chance to win. But the last couple matches, I thought were really good. And it was a really good show overall.
Yeah.
So we'll see if they wait 8 more years to do another one.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing of it is the time period in between. And then I guess... And I agree with what you said. I enjoyed the show a lot, probably definitely more than I expected to. And I hadn't planned to watch it live, but I ended up, we were kind of sitting and doing nothing. So I'm like, I'm going to just fire it up on my, I watched it on my phone and I enjoyed it. And I didn't even factor in or think about Naomi cashing in.
Mm-hmm.
That night, I thought, because Jade won the Queen of the Ring and she's getting the title shot at SummerSlam, I thought Naomi would cash in at SummerSlam and take advantage of it there. But
And I think a lot of people expected that. So I think this is a swerve that worked well.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, we can, I don't know if this will tie into the topic at hand, but hating, talk about WWE counter-programming AEW, you know, with Against All In, they had the NXT special and Saturday Night's Main Event. The next NXT special is also going up against the next AEW, I think, All Out.
Yeah. No, Forbidden Door.
Forbidden Door. That's it. Yeah. And then by putting Evolution on Sunday and having the cash in, I think that took away, you know, talking points from All Out. Or All In from Saturday. So I think Triple H is just over there being a hater on Tony Khan and trying to steal his thunder.
Well, you know, according to Jeff Jarrett and Conrad, there was no impact from WWE's counter programming, and they seem to relish it and look forward to it.
And I don't think there. I would say there's probably no impact in the viewership. I think because again, we're in a time where you don't have to necessarily watch live; you can watch later. But I think as far as social media talking points, I would say maybe more people were talking WWE after the weekend than.
But do you think though that that's just a product of, like you said, I mean, I know WWE kind of had that last jab with Evolution, but even I feel like if WWE had nothing on Sunday, it seems like the cycle kind of, just because of the way social media is, we talked about this a couple weeks ago with, you know, the Mankind Undertaker Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
When that happened, I mean, we're still talking about it. I don't know that anything happened over that past weekend that we'll talk about 25 years from now. So I do partly blame social media.
I think we'll be talking about Big Boom and the Grizzler and Trent pushing down Big Justice. Come on.
We will talk about that on this episode for sure. One last thing about last week, and then we'll move ahead. I guess Goldberg is speaking and says that in a couple of weeks he'll have more to say. It's being suggested that perhaps that was his last WWE match, but not his last match ever. I've already seen the posters of him and Chris Jericho standing face to face, you know, via AI, of course. What are your thoughts? I mean, I think we both established over the last couple of weeks, we're not the biggest, never really were the biggest Goldberg fans. Recognize the contributions that he has made, but if that was Goldberg's last match, I'm cool with it, but apparently others are clamoring for him to come back and tell his story else or finish his story elsewhere.
I was going to start the show off and say, hey, I got an impersonation for you. Tell me who this is. I am the greatest. I can't believe they didn't let me do what I wanted to do and give me a title belt. And I should have been in the focus. I should have got 2 hours. No, I think Goldberg needs to go away. I think he had his last match. I don't think Tony Khan will be silly enough to offer him, you know, a short run in AEW to give him the Sting treatment. I think if he wants to have a final match, then go do it in some small Southern convention center and he can face Ric Flair and they can both have another final match. But no, I think Goldberg has just again proven to be the mark for himself that really, I guess, you know, if he's going to have a match, he should have it against Bret Hart and they can have the Mark of Marks final match to see who gets to be the true self-indulgent wrestler.
There you go. I like that idea. Well, we're going to talk about haters, ironically enough, on the tail end of that. I think we both agree wrestling is tribalistic. Probably more tribalistic than other forms of entertainment, other sports. I don't know that I see people, you know, we've said it here before, nobody hates wrestling as much as wrestling fans do. And I can't think of another form of entertainment or sports. And again, I'm not into a whole lot of other things outside of the wrestling bubble. So you tell me, I know you watch more, you know, football and baseball and hockey. You travel and go and see these games and things. You're a big movie buff. And I don't know, do you want to plug what the project you're working on, or you want to wait and save that for another episode?
We'll save that for when we're closer to letting out. Yeah.
But I guess the point is, and I guess you also walk a fine line, because when my 1-2-3 cents, you know, it's been almost 15 years now, when I first kind of developed the blog and the idea behind it was a playoff of my 2 cents. You know, I'm giving some of my opinions, so it's the my 1-2-3 cents. And sometimes those opinions come with a little perceived maybe hate. And I don't know that we can criticize or be critical of anything anymore without it coming off as being sounding like a hater. So I think there are definite lines, and we'll talk about a study here in a minute as well that takes a closer look at this. But I think sharing our opinion about a pay-per-view, for example, like we did back in the day, or a Monday Night Raw episode or whatever it was, we weren't doing that maliciously. But I think that there are true assholes out there that are being mean and vicious and tribalistic, and pointing out things about one company and that the other company is doing the exact same thing. And I'm going to throw another, for instance, out there in a minute as well. But overall, do you see this in other forms of entertainment the way we see it as a wrestling fan?
I'm going to say yes and no. I think tribalism definitely exists. I think the difference with wrestling as opposed to other sports is wrestling, you basically have two companies, WWE, AEW. I mean, yes, there's, you know, TNA, technically Ring of Honor, Game Changer, all these other smaller promotions. But for the most part, when it comes to mainstream fandom, it's two companies.
Right.
You look at baseball, basketball, you know, hockey, you have 30 teams. So you'll have, say, Raider fans who are diehard Raider fans who will say, you know, screw the Broncos and the Chargers and everybody else that's in their division, but they don't really care about the rest of the league as much as in that instance. So I think that the tribalism that we see with wrestling is more, I want to say, dedicated towards a specific entity instead of being spread out. But I do think, you know, I don't understand tribalism, as we've discussed on here before. And your comment about, you know, being critical without coming off as hating, I think in today's society, because there is so much critical and hate there, that I was just having this conversation yesterday, like, nuance is dead. And so instead of saying, you know, I don't like, you know, use Evolution as example. I didn't like Becky winning because I feel she's overput. You know, I can understand that she's a talented wrestler. The match was good. I just want to see somebody new as champion. Or same way with Rhea Ripley. You know, it's like, oh, it seems like she's always in the title picture. And it's just, you know, it comes off more as just, I don't like Rhea Ripley. I don't like Becky Lynch. I don't like Charlotte Flair. And it's like, okay, well, do you just hate them because the easy way out of of anybody being critical of them is to be critical and just say, oh, it's because you're misogynistic. You know, you just don't like Charlotte because, you know, you hate women, whatever. And it's like, well, no, it's actually, if you can put together a specific listing of reasons why you dislike something, then I think you can be critical more efficiently. But then I also go back to the Simpsons episode where Homer is yelling at the baseball team players and insulting them, and Marge says, Homer, it's easy to be critical, and he says, yes, and fun too, or
something like that. So. Well, okay, since you brought up women specifically with, you know, like Charlotte and Becky and all the nine yards, I think I sent this to you, and I don't remember who sent it to me, but it's a study by
Crypto. That was an Ethiopian prince or a Nigerian prince. Yeah.
Cryptomaniac Sports. And I guess they looked at more than just pro wrestling, but obviously we're going to focus on and talk about the pro wrestling side of things. And this was a study they did on which WWE and AEW stars received the most online abuse. And I don't know, again, I didn't read the what they consider to be abuse or what they consider to be, you know, being critical. Because, yeah, I could say I didn't like the Becky Lynch, Blya Valkyria, and Bayley three-way match because of XYZ. And I don't think that's abuse. But if I said I didn't like it because Becky Lynch has gained 20 pounds and looks like a pig, then, yeah, I would consider that abuse. And I'm going to go with that as kind of maybe hopefully what they identified as abuse. But there are I think there were 18 or 17 names on this list. And 11 of them are women. You know, Charlotte Flair is the top of the list. Nia Jax, Mercedes Moné, Saraya, Tegan Knox, CM Punk, Jericho. I don't have my glasses on, so I'm having trouble seeing them. Cora Jade, the Young Bucks, Jade Cargill, John Moxley, Alexa Bliss, Britt Baker, Will Ospreay, Ricochet, Natalya.
Do you know Ricochet's bald?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. The Natalya one, I don't understand. And Nikki Bella round out this list.
I would say Natalya, I go with just because she's been around for so long. And hopefully this isn't hateful, I'm trying to be critical. Mm-hmm. She hasn't done anything, but she's always there.
Yeah.
And she's always presented as like this top performer. But, you know, it would be like, I really am bad with pulling out random sports figures, but saying like Bob Uecker was a great baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'd been, you know, I mean, he's not. That's his whole shtick, is that he was bad at baseball, but he made a successful career out of it. But he was, I guess there's that self-deprecation aspect to know he understood his place. Whereas with Natalya, it's, I think it's more of a, and I don't know if that comes from her or just the way WWE presents her as being, like, we should take Natalya seriously, even though.
Well, I'll help you with that analogy.
Okay. Yeah.
R-Truth.
Okay.
He's always been around too. He's been around since what, 2008 or whatever it is, longer than Natalya. But he's probably, if they had a list of most beloved, he would probably be in the top five of that.
Yeah. But and I would say that
self-deprecation.
And
he knows, not to sound like The Rock, he knows his role. You know, he's there to be there. And again, we don't know what the company has for Natalya or anyone else, and how much of them are they out there kind of ad-libbing or kind of going into business for themselves, so to speak. So we don't know all of that. Were you surprised though to see, and it looks like a relatively, and I didn't count it up, but it looks like a relatively even distribution of AEW and WWE talent on this list. You know, Punk, you could probably say serves from both, but I don't understand it, because, for example, Charlotte, who is at the number one, they analyzed 35,000 comments or mentions on all of these talents. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's same amount of comments, so that's all the same. More than a third, though, for Charlotte, 36, almost 36.5% of the comments were negative. Did I say 36% or just 36? 36% of the comments were negative.
Does it also say when the study was done, what time frame?
I thought I had that pulled up. Let me look here and see. Because, let's see. No, it just says that they did an analysis. It doesn't have a study time frame. The study was just released though 6 days ago. So usually with studies, it takes a couple of, I'm hoping they did this more than just over a, but you know, 35,000 comments, it seems like these days doesn't take long to get there.
That's a day. Yeah.
Yeah. Depending on the post.
Well, and that's what I was wondering, because I think the comments about Charlotte, you know, since she came back, have probably been very high in the negative aspect. Whereas when she was out for a year, I don't think anybody was.
Well, and did you read that article I sent you that she wrote? Or I guess
I did not.
But I mean, it's very long. It's
that's why I didn't read it.
Long, and I'm in the same boat. I skimmed some of it and then read other parts of it. But
I think I did put it into ChatGPT and have them summarize, and it just said Ric Flair says Charlotte is the greatest wrestler of all time.
And did it say anything about Rikishi and Usos? So yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't know what I'm trying to accomplish with this. I guess pointing it out and recognizing it, and then, because I'm going to tell you a story.
Is it story time with Kevin Huntsberger? Yeah,
so
Bay Bay,
gather around, kids. You know, I feel like, and I think part of it comes with age. You know, as you get older, you don't think about things or let things bother is not even the right word, but I type out stuff all the time on social media, usually Twitter or X, and I delete it because I'm like, do I really want to be this guy?
Right.
But one time I made a tweet about a TV show, and I think
I know the story.
The way you just chuckled, I know you know where I'm going with this. It was the remake of The Odd Couple with Matthew Perry, and I don't even remember who the other actor was that was in it.
Thomas Lennon.
Yeah, I still.
From Reno 911, and he's in a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know the name, but as soon as you said Reno, I know who it is now.
Yeah.
And then
Yvette Nicole Brown.
I knew Yvette. I couldn't remember her last name, from Community, which I loved her in that. So mm-hmm. I made this tweet, and it was just kind of a snarky, you know, douchey tweet. And she actually replied to it. Knocked me in my place. And since then, I really have not been like that. I've probably a few have snuck through, or I try to do like hidden messages, I guess, more than anything, where I'm, because you and I, the snaps and the, and hopefully soon now TikToks and all the stuff that we share back and forth with each other. I mean, we know how I feel about a handful of wrestlers, and I think it's been publicly made about Nia Jax, which again, they're just little things, and we're not all going to like each other, and as a wrestling fan, but I'm not going to. And the things with Nia Jax are not the things that you would, you know, I'm not being critical of her. It's mostly her in-ring stuff and just her overall. I don't know. But anyway, my point is the
presentation of just pushing her too hard.
Yes. And it's, you know, we see it all the time.
And I will say real quick, just to clarify that, I think since Nia has come back, I won't say I'm a bigger fan, but I don't mind her as much.
Yes.
That she's been as it was before she, you know, in her first run.
I agree with you on that.
And I don't know why that, like, if something has just changed in the presentation that is more
powerful.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I'm glad you said that. That is a good point. But the other part of that comes with, you know, sometimes wrestlers I don't see it as much with other celebrities because I don't really follow any other celebrities other than my wrestling group that I follow, you know, the wrestlers that I follow. But, you know, 20 years ago, you would have never had an interaction with Chris Jericho or Charlotte or any of these other names on this list, much less be calling them out and arguing with them and then kind of picking a fight with their fans or, you know, people that come to their aid and defend them. And, you know, I guess the positive side is 36% of the comments were negative about Charlotte. That means, what is that? 64% weren't negative. So that's, I guess, the way to kind of look at the bright side of things. But social media has just made a lot of people brave and brazen and bold and things that you wouldn't, you know, if you went to a meet and greet or a signing or whatever, you wouldn't say these things to their faces. So I that's where I don't understand the online negativity or the online hate. Yeah. And like the Eric, you know, we've talked about it before. Some of these videos that we see on YouTube or TikTok, it's people just being complete trash and they get hundreds of thousands, millions of views. Whereas, you know, we do a pretty positive, uplifting thing here. And, you know, we get dozens of views. So it's more for the love of the game, I guess, than anything. But it is frustrating to see how the haterade gets out there. And I'm glad that for the most part, and we'll talk about this here more in depth too, the talent stays out of it. Mm-hmm. I don't legitimately think that AEW performers or wrestlers are rooting against WWE. And conversely, I don't think they are. Although sometimes they say things that provides mixed messaging or provides mixed signals. And I think then that fuels and sometimes justifies fans to be a bit more tribalistic.
Be a star, man. Be a star. Well, real quick, go back to your Yvette Nicole Brown story. The postscript, the disappointing postscript of that story is when I was on dating sites, her profile came up. I don't know if it was actually her or not, I would tend to think probably not, but you never know. So I did swipe right just because I was hoping that if it was her and by some fortune we matched, I just wanted to talk to her about you to tell her how awesome it was that she put you in your place. But yeah,
that's right. I forgot about that. This was years ago, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Real quick, and I hope this ties in. And
yeah.
And I think, but because I sent you something last, as we record this on Sunday morning, Saturday night, I sent you a thing on Instagram that came up, which I think kind of explains a little bit about how our society is today. So I'm going to read this just so that I get all the wording correct.
And I don't think I've seen this yet, so this will be a live reaction. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why you don't immediately respond to my Instagrams at 3 o'clock in the morning. And also, why didn't I charge my phone last night? I don't think we've really reckoned with how reality TV helped decimate empathy and community in American society. Decades of shows about vapid, immature, selfish, entitled rich people screaming at each other, shows turning every conceivable art and talent into a cutthroat competition, glorification of individualism, and devoting your life to personal enrichment. The complete absence of gratitude, these shows taught generations that success is placing themselves above all others.
Wow, that's good.
And I think that is part of social media too, like you said. You know, I'm not going to come up to you in public and say, you know, Kevin, you have a stupid faux mohawk haircut. I will say that to you because we are friends and I give you shit all the time.
Right.
But if I didn't know, you know, if I was a viewer when you were on the news, if I was a viewer, I'm not going to come up and say that to you. But behind my keyboard, I can say whatever I want. And, you know, I'm with you. There's a lot of times where I'll start typing out a tweet or something to be snarky. And then I'll stop myself and be like, to you, if I just send it to you, you're going to, you're like, okay, I know you, I know.
Yeah.
You're just being a jackass.
Right.
But if you didn't know me, then I'm going to come off as just a complete a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, but again, I think there is something also about people wanting to be the a-hole because like you said, that's what gets the attention. That's what's going to get the response is, if I just say, hey, man, you know, love your work, keep up the good job, might just be like, thanks. And you'd probably be like the only person that would respond. But if I come in and be like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe, you know, you wear that stupid jacket in all your videos and you're so dumb, blah, blah, blah. Then you may respond. But people that also are a fan of you are going to jump in as well to defend. And then I get the satisfaction of engagement farming, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, we could go down a very deep rabbit hole, but we try to keep this show political free. But
yeah.
I think there is a correlation between politics and everything else that we're seeing kind of unfold on social media as well. And I wanted to bring up, because I mentioned, you know, that we don't see the talent engaging in this. And I know that there have been shots fired from both companies and leadership and ownership in both companies have said things. And I talk about all the time. I listen to Conrad's podcast. I'm not an ad-free member, but I listen to the free podcast. And he talks about tribalism all the time and you know, how it's hurtful and it's not doing anybody any good and just enjoy your thing and whatever. And I'm saying this, and this is probably going to sound petty, but Daniel Bryan was quoted the other day as saying that he feels like WWE most of the time is a parody of pro wrestling. Which to me is just dumping more fuel on a fire that's already there. And like, I don't know, maybe that was a part of the comment that he made, but.
Well, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, you know, I believe he wrote that in his book that came out while he was in WWE.
Hmm. Okay. I didn't know. I did. Again.
So again, I don't think it was like a shot at WWE. I think he's talking about his love of wrestling.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, then I'm going to retract what I was going to say, because if that's the case, I don't know. It was a post I saw this morning, and it was, that quote.
But to that point, that quote was probably taken out of context, or because that quote by itself will get a lot of engagement.
And yes, and it kind of goes back to where I was talking about. Wrestling fans hate wrestling because if Daniel Bryan said that in 2018 when he wrote his book, or I don't know when he wrote his book, but when he was still under the employ of WWE, why would you not put the date of when said quote was mentioned? Because obviously people won't click on it or talk about it or whatever. And I don't even remember the site that posted it. I typically, if I share news from wrestling, I save it for AEW to break that news or WWE, because we've seen it before where there were companies, I think WWE even did it by accident when Corporal Kirshner died the first time. They had said he had passed away, and it turned out he had not. And then it was a couple of days, maybe a few days later, that he had passed. But I usually typically try to wait to see the source confirmed by WWE or AEW or Cauliflower Alley Club. I have a lot of respect for as well. You know, a lot of these sites just kind of feed off of each other. And I actually wrote for one for a little bit. So I'm not saying these things to be negative towards them, but I also say buyer beware. And, you know, again, a lot of these sites, not just wrestling sites, are putting shit out there because they want you to click on it. They have ads on their pages or whatever the case may be, and they're getting those views or those likes. Or some people just have a warped sense of humor or sense of whatever and like to see that fire started and you know, ooh, my comment got 800 reactions and I know I pissed off Charlotte for the day. You know what I mean? So don't be that guy or girl.
I've many times on this show have talked about my disdain for Facebook and what it's become. And it's not even like my feed isn't even people that I follow. It's just random groups and pages and stuff. And a lot of the wrestling stuff is nothing but clickbait. And it's like the most dishonest headlines. And that's why I'm like, I don't think I could ever work for a social media company or news organization, because I don't know how to write clickbait headlines. You know, to me, it's like, give me the story that you want me to say. Don't be like, you know, for more information, click on this link. It's like, well, I'm too lazy to go and read something, but it's like, you know, like AEW star. I think one of them recently is like AEW signs top WWE star, shockingly. And it's like, but then you click on the headline and it's probably like a story that's been a year old. And it's like, what? I don't know.
There's a YouTuber out there that we've talked about. I think you actually introduced me to him. And I actually, for whatever reason, subscribed. And I still get the notifications when he posts.
Is he still doing stuff?
And every time, like the latest one was ex-WWE star shot dead.
I saw that story.
Yeah. And it's it was an NXT guy. And I don't even know. I don't know enough about him.
I'd never heard of him.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, this guy was under the NXT brand. I don't even know if he was on TV, but that's where and again, I get frustrated because I want the My123Cents brand to be successful for people to listen and watch and do whatever, but I still have not lowered my, and I'm not trying to sound like I'm on a high horse, but I guess I am. I don't want to lower myself or the reputation of me, the brand or whatever. And this comes from my time in TV news was, and I know that the news media has a reputation out there these days too, but I always prided myself on not being biased. And I don't want to take those clickbaitable things, because I could sit here and make up a bunch of shit that would get people to click on it or whatever. But I guess I just sleep better knowing that we have a small but loyal following versus having the masses who are being fed misinformation, but they keep coming back for more for whatever reason. And I don't know why fans click on it in the first place. Cause like you said, I scroll right on past it, or I will snooze it or ignore it on my feed. So I just don't get that.
Yeah. Well, I think again, part of it's the tribalism, and part of it is again, that I guess this, I don't know, feeling of superiority that I make myself feel better by attacking someone. You know, it's the whole punching down aspect of life, I guess, which I don't, again, don't understand. And so I can't fully comment on it because, it doesn't make sense to me. So it's like if I set up here and start talking about science stuff, it doesn't make sense to me. So black holes don't really exist and kind of racist, but lame. But yeah, I just don't understand that need for, and I guess this goes back to the whole social media aspect of, I think there is a good community in social media. You know, there are a couple of YouTubers that I watch that their interactions with people, you know, people coming are mostly positive. And they're very positive themselves. They're like, hey, you know, this is just what I love to watch. And these are my opinions. But yeah, to go for that bottom barrel aspect, or, you know, that low brow hanging fruit.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. Like, but, and I think it's also, as you mentioned, we're older. So my body keeps telling me on a daily basis. And so for us, you know, I mean, I remember being at Bad Blood in St. Louis, 1997, debut Kane, debut Hell in the Cell. You and I were both there unknowingly to each other. I think we were sitting like two rows apart. It was really odd. And this is also a point of cultural shift and personal growth. You know, we had it, my friends and I that went, we had several signs. One of them said, China is my dad, you know, because back then, haha, that was funny.
Right, right.
Today, not so much. And also, you know, I think even if the society hadn't changed in that regard, I have changed to where I would be like, yeah, that's kind of a dumb sign. I would have just taken a blank piece of poster board like I've done before just to be annoying. But yeah, so I think that's part of it, is that I wonder if these people that are making these comments, what the age group is. Yeah. And apparently it's also in online gaming as well. And that's, you know, shit talking each other. So again, something I don't do, so I can't, I can only say what I've heard about.
Yeah.
So, and to that regard, I guess your mom's gay and I'm going to do her tonight. I don't
know. Yeah. Well, and I guess the bottom line is, no matter what form of entertainment you're indulging in or whatever, just have some empathy and know that even though Charlotte Flair or Nia Jax or Chris Jericho or the Young Bucks, I mean, they're all men and women just like us. They have a level of celebrity and some fame and fortune, but it's, with that comes some thick skin, but, you know, being a douche, it hurts them. You know, I'm sure they read those comments and some of them probably laugh them off and know that, okay, this is probably a 20-year-old living in his mom's basement and just venting toward me. But, you know, some of the insults are fine, I guess. But that when you get uber personal or you know, God, who was it? Kevin Nash was talking the other day. You know, the quad jokes. He still gets the quad, you know, you tore your quad doing your podcast or whatever, and he has learned to laugh those off, but he's got people that are like making shots at his recently in the last couple of years, his son died. And people are going after that and just making snarky, rude, you know, criticize my match, criticize my pro. But when and that's the other part of social media, you know, 20 years ago, we may not have known Kevin Nash even had a son, much less that he had passed away. So, yeah, I'm all for free speech, but there comes a point where you've crossed a line and you're taking things a little too far, a little too personal.
Yeah, and I think that's, you kind of hit it on the head there. Whatever you see on screen, I think is fair game for criticism. Whatever is personal in the personal life, unless you know the person and you're saying it directly to them, there's no point for that. Because again, one, it's personal. And two, just because you read something online doesn't make it 100% true,
yeah,
or accurate in the description of what is being said. So you're just taking something and I guess throwing fire onto it, or throwing gasoline onto a fire. Makes more sense, throwing fire onto gasoline.
Unless you're Kane.
Unless you're Kane, yeah. But that's, again, being old, I don't care about someone's personal behavior. You know, whatever you do, I mean, yes, you and I will sit here again amongst friends and make snarky comments to each other because, right, we're, you know, again, if any of our private conversations ever came to light, neither one of us is going to become president. Although,
well, maybe,
maybe. but we're not, at least to me, I feel like we're not doing that in a serious tone. We're just,
right,
again, being like we're just,
right,
goofing off, you know?
Yeah.
But then to take something that is personal about somebody that you don't even know, and like, again, it goes back to, I don't understand. Why would you do that? Why does that matter? You know, Charlotte Flair, unfortunately, has not had success in her married life.
Yes.
Do I know all the reasons why her marriages haven't worked out? No, I don't. So why would I say something about those marriages to her? You know, just to be a jackass.
Like, right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like we have kind of said our piece on the subject. And if you know, people want to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you. Again, I want to remind also, the month of July is Christmas in July. So if you have made a snarky comment somewhere and want to repent and feel better about it, make a donation to the My 123 Cents Wrestling Figure Drive. We've gotten a few donations in. Prizes are going out, and there's a big drawing on July 31st. So you can check the description on YouTube or on the podcast to find out ways to donate, or follow us on social media. It is Facebook. It's the My 123 Cents Facebook page and Facebook group. Different content usually on those too. So just trying to have some fun out there. Enjoy wrestling, because that's the bottom line. Enjoy life. Enjoy wrestling. Let's make it all fun again. And it doesn't have to, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, each company, all companies have their highs and lows, their things that they do that we don't like or whatever. But, you know, it's part of the process. And I'm sure there are movie studios out there that put films out. I mean, we're talking to a friend yesterday. I haven't been to the movie theater since The Iron Claw at the end of 2023. So it's just,
what, you have not seen the Smurfs? You didn't rush right out Friday afternoon to watch the Smurfs?
I have not. And I will not convince anyone in this house to go see it either. So if I do see, I will wait for it to stream. I'm sure it's exactly what the critics have said.
But, well, you know, and in that regard, real quick,
yeah,
one group of fandom that I was going to mention earlier and didn't, I actually did go to the theater this week to see Superman. If you know anything about the DC cinematic universe, Zack Snyder did, I believe he did Man of Steel and Batman v Superman and Justice League. I think he did all of them. But the Snyderverse, or the Snyder fans, are very tribalistic towards, like, we want this version of these characters. Yeah, apparently they've been hating on James Gunn online. I can't fully say they shouldn't be hating, because I think James Gunn still owes me $6 for Scooby-Doo. I will not let that one go. I know James Gunn and you are both from the St. Louis area, so he's also got that strike against him. But Superman, it was a fine film. You know, it's nothing that I'm like, I don't think it's going to be Oscar contender at the moment. But it goes back to, again, the superhero. Wrestling fans hate wrestling. No one hates wrestling like wrestling fans. I think no one hates superhero movies like superhero fans as well. So, and then, yeah, just real quick tie up. We talked about haters. We didn't mention Jamie Hayter. So if you're going to be a hater fan of Jamie Hayter. Hopefully, you know, she's injured right now. Hopefully it's nothing serious. She'll be back soon. But I think to wrap everything up, and the way we need to just embrace everything, is to be more like Tony Khan. Just hug it out.
There you go. I will agree with you on that. but not much else. But friends, thank you for listening and or watching. Let us know your thoughts, and we will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.